Verse 3. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God. That's interesting, isn't it? Because he says, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter. Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith unto him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. You can go ahead and be seated. How many people have heard this story before? Raise your hand. How many people have heard it taught, teached, preached, however you heard it? And did I say teached? I did. Maybe I need teached. You've heard it taught, and maybe even a Sunday school class as a kid. And the whole purpose of the story was about service, about humility. We learned that Jesus, being the King of Kings, humbled himself to the point of a servant. It's about servitude. It's about kneeling down and becoming humble. And if the King of Glory can do it, then we should be able to do it too. And I don't want to take away from that interpretation, because that interpretation is correct. But there's some things in this story that, if you just take that out of it, Jason, we miss some very important points in this story. There was some tension in this room. And I love the fact that Jesus knelt down and as he's kneeling becomes that servant, because what that does is that really knocks religion out of the equation. Because religion puts God in this elevated place where you have to try to climb to obtain his habitation. Religion tries to put God just a little out of reach, and the message of every religion is try harder, do better, be more consistent. That's why if you're not careful, and I listen to a lot of different preaching, Simon, sometimes I listen to preaching, knowing I don't agree with them, just so they can make me mad. But as I listen, I hear that a lot of times, if we're not careful, we make obtaining God something that we can do on our own. The preaching puts it in a way that you can get to the place where God will accept you. And there's a lot of religions. Every religion of this world will tell you something that you need to do to get to their God. Every religion. Every religion has some kind of work that you have to do to get to him. This story knocks that hierarchy totally out of the water, because it shows, now notice what it, the way it starts out, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things to his hand and that he was come from God and went to God. So we understand he understood he was divine. And the divine in this story is not out of reach at all. As a matter of fact, the divine is so close that he is kneeling down at the feet of the disciples. So religion, I'm not religious. I think you got to be careful with any religion, because religion will get you in trouble. Because let me make this clear. Jesus never came to start a religion called Christianity. Jesus never came to start a religion at all. What Jesus came was to destroy the works of the devil and restore what was lost in the garden. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. That's what he came for. Jesus came to renew, restore, and revive a relationship that had been lost, never to start a religion. As a matter of fact, the first time they were called Christians were at Antioch. And by the way, they didn't call themselves Christians. Somebody else called them Christians. Amen? I'm really careful with telling people I'm a Christian. Why am I careful with that? Because I believe I am a disciple of Jesus, striving to become more like him, working to be conformed to his image. But I think if anybody's going to call me Christ-like, it should come from somebody else that sees his attributes in me and says I'm Christ-like. When I put that label on me, I'm telling you that I think I have arrived, and I want to let you know I don't know anybody that has arrived at that place yet. Can you say amen? So as a disciple of Jesus, when I read this story, Sam, it's really interesting. Because if I just teach you that this is about service and about servitude and about being humble, we miss something. There's a lot of tension when one of these verses that we read through them, you may not have caught it, but that's why I'm the preacher, because I caught it. And when I read this, something begins to shift in this room. And it happens when he gets to Simon Peter. Obviously, there were some other ones that he washed their feet, and they didn't say much. But the Bible says, then he came to Simon Peter. Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? How many people here have ever been to a foot washing, an actual foot washing where you wash people in the church's feet? Raise your hand. Okay, we don't have those here. Namely, because the pastor of the church ran over his foot with a lawnmower when he was 17. And I don't want nobody washing my feet. Somebody asked me one time, said, do we have foot washings here? I said, no, not here, but if you want to, go ahead. And it's an act of humility. I have been part of them. And it is a very humbling experience to have somebody wash your feet. Tracy, where's my stuff? Give me. I brought some stuff. We may try something. What? Did y'all see that? I looked at Brandon and looked at his feet, and he went, I'm pretty nervous right now. Oh, you just wait. Hey, listen, this is the spot, man. This is where it goes. There's something humiliating about it. Amen? And I've had my pastor wash my feet. And I just felt out of sorts, out of place, a little awkward. I got the goods, brother. He girds himself with a towel. Probably didn't look like this, but he girds himself with a towel. He lays aside his garments. And this is the Lord of glory that takes a towel. Just to let you know, when we ordain ministers in this church, what do we give you? We give you a towel, because your life is about service. Can I say some stuff? Is it all right since it's Wednesday? I've been to churches where when you pull up to the front of the church, there was reserved parking for the pastor right by the door. Listen, if y'all ever try to reserve parking for me right by the door, I quit. There are elderly people that need to be parked right by the door. But somehow they got this feeling that because they were the pastor that they needed a reserved parking place. And not only him, but he had, I better shut up. Because let me tell you what ministry is about. Let me tell you what your discipleship is about. It's about service. So picture this. He starts out by saying he knew he came from God. Are you still nervous? You are. You're getting better now? He knew that he came from God. He knew he was going back to God. And he gets up and gets the tools of a servant. These things belonged in somebody else's hands. Because in that day, they had a servant in the house that had a responsibility to wash people's feet. Have you ever been to somebody's house and they have a sign on their door that says, "Please take off your shoes"? Anybody ever been there? I work in the mines, and I go to a place to buy parts. And I spend a lot of money at this place. And at the door, it says, "No muddy boots." I'm like, what do you think I'm going to come in? Switch them out and put my Crocs on? I mean, what do you think's going to come in here if you're selling to a coal miner? So in these days, you didn't have to worry about it because they had someone there to wash your feet. Get real quiet for a minute. All of a sudden, they're sitting at the table and Jesus gets up and he takes the water and he pours it in a basin. Imagine what's going through the disciples' mind. Yeah, I spilled some. It's all right. Imagine what's going through the disciples' mind when the King of Glory, when their Messiah, their rabbi, their teacher gets up to do this servant's job. He kneels down and he begins to wash their feet. And he comes to Peter, and Peter offers resistance. He said, "Lord, you gonna wash my feet?" Jesus answers, and then Peter doubles down. He says, "You will never wash my feet." Take me to that next verse after that. Jesus says something that puts a lot of tension in the room. Jesus said, back up there, what verse are we at? After he poured the water in the basin, then verse 7. Jesus answered to them, "What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter." Peter doubles down. "Thou shalt never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I wash thee not," listen to this, "thou hast no part with me." Don't sound very humble right there, does he? If this is a lesson on humility, he didn't sound very humble right there, did he? It sounded like he drew a line in the sand. As a matter of fact, it sounded kind of like an ultimatum. If you don't let me wash your feet, but why the feet? Tradition tells us it's because they wore sandals and they walked through the streets and they picked up dust. Give me my Greek definition. The word "part" here is meros. And it means a part due or assigned to one, a lot, a destiny, one of the constituent parts of a... See, I don't know where I'm going, so I'm excited because I'm the preacher. When I read this, I got tore up. One of the parts of the whole. Let me tell you what Jesus wants to do. He wants to make every person in this room whole. He wants to make us, he would go to the pool of Bethesda and he would ask this question, "Wilt thou be made whole? Will you be made complete?" His goal is to make you complete. The problem is there are parts to the whole. So he says, listen, he said, if you don't allow me to wash your feet, then you have no part with me. There's no way that I can make you whole if you don't let me wash your feet. Why your feet? Let me preach for a minute. The reason it was the feet, I do believe they walked in dirt. I do believe they wore sandals. I believe that that's the way they tracked the dirt from the outside into the house. I believe the reason he wanted to wash the feet is because we want to keep the dirt on the outside of the house. Now, let me spiritualize this for you. Your feet are the part of you, the lowest part of you, that touches earth every single day. It's your feet that's the lowest part. He didn't wash the crown. He didn't wash the shoulders. He wanted to wash the lowest part of who you are. That's what my Savior does. And he says, if I don't wash the lowest part of you. Oh, Peter was quick to pull out his sword. When Jesus was in the garden, he was quick to get out of the boat when Jesus was walking onto the water, but he's really slow to put his feet out. Why is it that we're willing to give him some parts of us, but there's other parts of us that we withdraw from him? There's other parts of us. Oh, I'll give him my prayer and I'll give. But when doubt begins to creep in, you know what I want to do with the doubt? I want to put it under the table where he can't see it. But he's saying to somebody on this Wednesday night, you need to give me all of you, the worst parts of you, the very dirt of who you are, because he is the King that can wash away all the dirt. But oh, here's my thought. This may be quick. Where's my towel? After he kneels down, picture this. The divine is in the dust, washing the dust off of flesh. Think about that for a minute. Religion puts the divine in a place where we can't reach him. Jesus puts the divine in the dust where he can reach us. Religion is man's search for God. Jesus is God's search for man, and it's totally different. Man has been searching for God throughout the ages, trying to find him, give him a name. I got his name. He said he's given him a name that's above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee is going to bow to that name because he was willing to bow. But he's washing something else off Peter, not just the dirt on his feet. He's washing away a belief system. A belief that says, not so, Lord, you'll never wash my dirt. You're too good for my dirt. There is a belief system in us that says there are parts of us that aren't good enough for him, and we withhold them from him. And he's saying, you got to give me all of it, because the only way he can make you whole is to wash away the belief that your dirt can keep him from getting to where you are. I'm here to tell you, there ain't no devil in hell can stop him. How can your dirt? You got a weakness. You got a struggle. You got something going on in you that we try to keep back. It's difficult to confess sin sometimes. It's really tough to tell when you made a mistake. Simon good at saying he's sorry? Yeah? Let me find me an honest woman in here. Well, wait a minute. Is she good at saying she's, never mind. I won't get you in trouble. Did y'all hear what he said? She never needs to. You was so nervous, wasn't you? You got a little nervous. I seen it in your eyes. Why was you nervous? Yeah. Did y'all hear what he said? He said his feet probably, they probably stink. Out of all things to wash, that's where Jesus went. Now here's the awesome part, Doug. The awesome part is, as an example, he said, I want you to do the same thing to each other. So does that mean that we need to have a foot washing at the church? Or is there something deeper? Is he telling us that we need to meet each other in our dustiest parts? In the places that track all the dirt? Do we need to meet people? Because here's what happens. We get a little advanced in our walk with God, and we look across the aisle, and we see somebody struggling. And let me tell you something about fruit. The fruit is fruit, and there is fruit of the Spirit. And just because you haven't seen fruit yet doesn't mean that there's no Spirit. But we got people looking at other people saying, oh, I want to see their fruit. I'm a fruit inspector. God never called you to be a fruit inspector. What God called you to do was bear fruit. And when you bear fruit, things begin to happen. But I got to be willing to meet somebody the way Jesus did. At the part that's connected to the earth. Have you ever met somebody that is so heavenly minded? You know the rest of that saying? That they are no earthly good. I've been around people you can't even talk. Everything you say, they turn it into something. Would you like an example? So you know what I'm talking about. I remember a guy that I worked with, Dustin, his nephew was in bad shape, really bad shape. Took him to the hospital. They found out what was wrong, and they took care of it. And I asked him, I said, hey, man, how's your nephew? Showing concern, as a disciple of Jesus should. How's your nephew? Hey, the doctors found it. And he said that everything's going to be all right. Thanks for praying. Then here it comes. It ain't about the doctors. It's about Jesus. Yeah, it is. The doctors didn't have anything to do with it. Well, they kind of did. And I thank God that he uses people. I mean, I don't know if y'all know or not, but Luke was a doctor. So it's like, no, and I don't have anything to do with it. I'm just like, ugh. Everything you say, it turns into something like, I mean, it's unbelievable. We can't get to the place where we're not willing to meet people in their dirt. You sure look awful dirty. Jesus showed us the example. He said, go and do this likewise. Because if I don't wash that, you don't have no part with me. You know what this is about? This is about union. This is about union. There was a group of soldiers one time, Brother Eddie, and they wanted to give their life to Jesus. And so they had a baptism for them. The problem was they were still in battle. They were still at war. So the general didn't know what to do. So he said, here's an idea. Baptize all of them except for the arm that they used to swing their sword. It's the story of the unbaptized arm. The rest of me saved, but this arm ain't been baptized, and it'll swing on you. So they go back out to battle, keep their sword in their unbaptized arm so that they can take care of business. Bless the Lord. And that's a funny story, but there's parts of us that we have surrendered to him, and there's other parts of us that we haven't surrendered to him, and we want to show him our worship, and we want to show him our praise, but we don't want to show him our doubt. We don't want to show him our unbelief. We don't want to show him our struggle. We won't want to show him the times when we're about to give up and throw in the towel, when he's there to take that very towel that you want to throw in and wash it away. So what part is it that we withhold from him? Dustin, the only way we can be whole is if we give it all to him. Every bit of it. Peter said, I don't know if y'all caught this or not, but Peter said, oh yeah, wash my hands, wash my head. And Jesus says something so interesting. What's that next verse? Give it to me, Jacob. Have you ever listened to the way Jesus talks? Have y'all ever really read what he says? Did you read this? Do you have any idea what he's saying? Well, preacher, you could in my version. Maybe. Jesus saith unto him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet. I see some looks of bewilderment on your face. What's he saying? This is really good. He's saying, hey, you guys that have took a bath, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet. Why? But is clean every whit, and ye are clean. Make sense? Shake your head yes if that makes sense. Shake your head no if you don't know what that means and you want me to tell you. Shake your head if you don't care, because some of you didn't shake your head either way. Here's what he's saying. Man, this is good. This is good preaching right here. Because you know what? I didn't do it. Jesus did. He said, man, if you're clean, he said, you needeth not save to wash his feet. You're clean. The problem is your feet are coming in contact with stuff and still needs to be washed. So what are you getting at? Every person in this room that is a disciple of Jesus Christ, you have been washed and you are clean. But there are parts of us that come in contact with this world. Can you say amen? From time to time, we bump into things. From time to time, we do things that we didn't want to do. There's time to time. He said, you know what? I'll wash that. I'll wash that. I'll take care of that. Listen, your soul's clean. Your spirit's clean. All that's taken care of. But I got a God that when I bump into things or if I get in situations, Sam, he's still willing to wash it. I ran up on a guy one time. Dustin, he had no idea I was there. Absolutely no idea. He was a very hard man. I'll tell you this. He was pretty legalistic in his beliefs. If you did this, you're going to hell. If you do that, you're going to hell. Anybody ever met somebody like that? Anybody ever met somebody like that? Come on, talk to me. Was it your parent? No, I'm kidding. By the way, let me throw this in there real quick. Sometimes we get a wrong idea about God through parenting. I've seen parents look at their kids and say, Jesus knows what you're doing. Jesus knows if you're lying or not. Like he's this cosmic police officer ready to arrest him and bonk him over the head. And you know what they get? They get a bad rap of Jesus. Jesus is watching you. It's like, why are you scaring him to death of Jesus? Because here's the thing about Jesus. He's more willing to forgive him than wash him than you are. Hear that, kids? I better quit. He's willing. And we're using his as this police officer that's going to bonk them on the head every time they do something wrong. This man was extremely legalistic and wanted to bonk everybody on the head. And I'm not here to call things sin or not, but I'm here to tell you this. What he was doing, he called sin. And I pulled up on him. I seen him. I didn't have to go that way, but I did. I drove over and I pulled up and I said, "Hey, how you doing?" And he went, "Hey." I went, "Hey. Hey. That's exactly how I went." He went, "Hey." I said, "Hey." Oh, if he seen you doing it, you was in big trouble. But let me tell you what happened. He put it behind his back. Here's the problem. Smoke rises, people. I'm sitting there in my truck going, "What is it?" And it finally hit the ground. Ain't it something that he thought I mattered? Do you hear me? Ain't it funny that he thought I mattered? What, you think God can't see what we're doing? You think God don't know what you're doing? I'm not here to beat you up. I'm here to tell you what he did. That's what he did when I pulled up. He went, "Hey." I said, "Hey. Hey. Why are we trying to hide something when all we got to do is, if it's convicting us and if it's a sin according to Scripture, lay it down and give it to him and let him wash it away. But we're trying to hide it, thinking that he's not willing to get where we are. He's willing to get right down in the dirt. I don't care what your dirt is, Jason. He's willing. The divine is willing to get in the dirt and wipe away the belief system that says he's not there. I don't know where we got this idea. But we got this idea that God can't be in the same room with sin. Where did we get that idea? No flesh is going to glory in his presence. That's right. But I'm going to tell you right now, if God can't be in the same room with sin, he can't never be in the room with any of us. For all have and come of the... I tell you what, the night I got saved, I was a sinner. And he was in the same room. Yes, sir. And let me tell you what he did. His spirit walked right down the aisle and touched me in my sin. I got a Savior that'll get in the dirt and wash it away. Amen. Come on, Aaron, come on. Take your shoes off. I'm kidding. Moses was walking through the wilderness. And he looked over and he seen a bush that was burning, but it wasn't consumed. And he goes over to the bush, Vicky. And God makes this amazing statement. Now, in the desert, they wore these things on their head to protect them from the sun. And Alice, he didn't say, "Take your hat off, you're in my presence." Now, some of us would, right? Come on. Somebody roll up in here with a hat on. Does that bother anybody? Any old-fashioned people in here, people sitting in church with their hats on, you're like, "Hey, if anybody's got their hat on right now, I'm sorry, I don't see you." Guy coming here with his hat on backwards, he walks in, some people. Well, Moses rolls up with a hat on. And you know, God didn't say anything about his hat. You know what he said? "Moses, take your shoes off, because you are standing on holy ground. Now, that makes it sound like an act of reverence, doesn't it? Take your shoes off because you're on holy ground. But the truth is, the only thing that was separating Moses from holy ground was his shoes. So what's God saying? Get rid of the thing that is between you and the holy. Get rid of that so that your feet can touch this holy ground. Do you see it? We thought it was an act of reverence, and God's saying, remove the thing that is separating you from touching me. Man, that's good stuff, ain't it? So what is it? What is it? I don't know who I preached to tonight, but I preached to somebody. Now I want to pray for you. Maybe there's something you promised God. God, I'm going to get rid of that out of my life, and you haven't done it yet. And you've been trying to kind of hide it, keep it back. Or maybe God's been dealing with you to do something, and you haven't surrendered yet. He wants to meet you right there in that spot. Mike, I've had people come to church, and they looked at me, and they said, if you ask me to testify, I will leave and never come back. I think they were joking. I think. But I've never asked them to testify. What if your testimony, you got a testimony. Don't you have a testimony? You sure do. You sure do. What if your testimony, or your testimony, or your testimony that you've been withholding, and you made a deal with God and you said, God, if you do this, I'll testify. Or God, if you do that, I'll give you the praise. Or God, if you did this, you got. Hey, it's time to pay up. Because, don't get me wrong, he's not got an invoice. I don't think God sends out invoice on, hey, I need that praise. It was due at the third of the month, and I didn't get it. You're now 90 days past due, and it's drawn interest. I don't think he does that. But I do know this. He wants to meet you in that place, because that's what kind of God he is. Dustin, he knew who he was. And he stood up and he said, I'm going to take care of this. This system, this belief system that says your dirt is too dirty for me. Your struggle is too much for me. There is nothing that you are dealing with that he can't handle. Nothing. 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 Come on, come on, come on, ministers, get ready, get ready. We're going to pray. Who needs prayer? Who needs prayer? Who's going to step out and say, hey, that's me. I got some things that I walked in here with that I'm not going to walk out of here with. Hey, you know what? Pray for me. I'll go first. Vicky, I got some things that I want to do better at. And the only way to do it is surrender it to him. Year after year after year, this will be the year. Give it to him. Come on, ministers, pray for me. I will not walk out of here the same way I walked in.